Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Rice Kickfighting Podcast Show. This isn't our usual show. We have a guest. This whole week, I would like to focus on women's Muay Thai, women's kickboxing, as we've got a big card going on in California this weekend, where I would say two of the top three female fighters in the world, Julie Kitchen and Miriam Nakamoto, will be going at it this coming up Saturday. For those of you who saw my highlight with those two and Valentina Shevchenko, thank you very much for the kind words, and I'm glad that you guys liked it. I will continue to push out highlights. My next highlight's actually going to be an inspiration for the female Muay Thai fighter, so it'll be the one thing that women start watching if they ever feel have doubts about the sport, or if they ever wonder, why they're doing it. It'll be kind of like their inspiration. They'll hear it, the music will get them going, and maybe it'll have them train that much harder or that much less or whatever, but I hope it inspires, because I really fell in love with it, and God willing, I find a wife and daughter one day, and I would love for my daughter to be in the fight sport. Speaking of a daughter who is in a fight sport, my guest today is Tiffany Van Soest, who fights out of the San Diego area. You are at the Black House Gym, correct?
Yeah, correct. Team Noguera.
Okay, cool. Well, go ahead and jump straight into it. Tiffany, give the world a little, tell us about how you got into the fight sport. What got you introduced to the gym? Just tell us about your background in kickfighting.
My background actually started a long time ago when I was about 8 years old. Just like, any other kid, I really liked the Ninja Turtles, and I wanted to do karate to be like a Ninja Turtle.
Awesome.
And so, 8 years old, my parents put me in karate, and it stuck. You know, I fell in love with it, and I've been training in karate, Shorinru Okinawan style. And I got my black belt when I was 14, and, after accomplishing a bunch of my goals, as far as karate tournaments and competitions go, I decided that I wanted to try full contact, and Muay Thai was becoming more popular at my dojo with my sensei, Joey Paliuso, getting into it, and our Muay Thai program developing. So I figured, hey, why not? Maybe I'll try this fighting thing. I just want to do one to see if I can, or to see what it was like. And then one turned into two, turned into three, and just progressed from there.
Yep. And the needle was in, as they say. So,
yeah.
Who's your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Michelangelo.
Michelangelo. That's an okay answer. It used to be Mike for me. It turned into Donatello. But
the nerdy one?
Yes, the nerdy one, because I'm a nerd. Yeah. I do a podcast show. I can't not be a nerd. I do a podcast show. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and go a little bit further. First of all, let's talk about the big weekend of fights. You are 2-0 as a pro, correct?
3-0
as a pro, and you are getting ready to take on Jemima Bertrand, which is a switch. You were, originally you were supposed to be going against, I believe it was Hillary Mack on this card,
yeah,
correct?
That's correct.
So you're supposed to be fighting her. You are now going against Jemima Bertrand, who also lost her fight in the card. Tell us about this matchup, because this is like night and day from who you were going to go against. Bertrand has had a lot of fights. She's had international experience, and she's a super athlete too. She comes and she throws bombs, combinations, and kicks. She's a Dutch stylist, but she's more of a Vertrain. She's going to go straight at you. What are you thinking as you made the fight switch? And I love that you this is a big step up fight, and you could have, not taken this fight. What motivated you to take this fight and decide, hey, I don't want to waste my training and get in there on Saturday?
First and foremost, an opportunity to fight somebody of her caliber, and test myself. I'm absolutely going to take it, hands down. I've watched her fight a couple times, and I like her style. I mean, she's fast like me, so it's going to be a barn burner. I'm ready to go to war. I'm ready to just slug it out, And secondly, I was supposed to fight in Croatia towards the end of July, and I went through a whole camp for that. And a week before I was supposed to leave, I got word that the fight was canceled. I was super bummed about that, because I'd went through an entire camp preparing for that. And I was even more motivated to just fight pretty much whoever they put in front of me at this point, because I've been through one camp, took a couple days off, jumped right back into camp, and then kind of found out that, this fight with Hillary Mack might not happen, but we got a couple other people that we could put in front of you. And I said, you know what, I don't really care who it is. Just make sure there's someone standing across from me on August 18th, and I'll do the rest.
Awesome. So let's go ahead and talk about your training. Tell us about who you work with. Everybody who I talk to, who I interview on the show, everyone loves to talk about the people who help prepare to put them in this situation. Who is it that you work with? And, you know, definitely tell us a little bit about your gym and what does your weekly training regimen look like?
Yeah, my head coach is Crew Alexander Palma. His background, he fought professionally in Europe, in Poland, for about 12 years. He's got an extensive background in also Kaju Kembo and Muay Thai. His style isn't really so much traditional, it's more Dutch style. So that's primarily how I fight. But I also know I know traditional Muay Thai because he's very good at that as well. And I actually recently moved up here to the LA area. I'm in Redondo Beach. And so when I'm not training down in San Diego with him, I'm training at the Black House here with Curo Gonzalez and a bunch of the guys. You know, Anderson Silva's there training his guys, Lyoto, and you know, there's a bunch of, like, Pedro Munoz, Rafael Cordero runs classes and stuff. So as far as training goes, I'm definitely in good hands.
Sounds good. Well, I'm going to ask you about your career. What are your career goals? You know, clearly for any male fighter in the U.S., there's going to be trouble finding a lot of Muay Thai fights. If you fought MMA, you could fight any, like, every weekend. But if you fight the stand-up game, it's a lot tougher to find fights. Would you be at all interested in, you know, maybe going to Thailand for a while and building a resume like, you know, a Chantel Oga's done that and a lot of the other elite female, you know, Kaylee Reese is another one who's gone to Thailand, and Iman Barlow, one of the best fighters in the world at 18 years old, very, 19 now. There's a lot of opportunities to be active as a fighter in Thailand. In fact, if you go to Fairtex Pattaya right now, someone will come up to you and ask you when you wanted to fight. Like, there's opportunities for you to build your record there. Would you at all be interested in, you know, going down to Thailand and building your record and getting that fight experience?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I love to travel, and I think going to Thailand, you know, the birthplace of the sport that I love, you know, to compete and train there would just be a dream come true.
Cool. And what would your fight goals be in the end? Is it just about world champions, you know, winning a world championship? Is it about winning multiple world championships? Is it about traveling and, you know, putting yourself up against the best fighters in the world on a regular basis? What do you see gaining from this sport? When you look back on your career, what do you want it to say?
Yeah, I mean, you summed it up right there, all of the above. You know, traveling, I love to travel, and to be able to do that through fighting, you know, that's a great opportunity. I've had the opportunity to travel to China. I've fought there twice. I just want to see the world, and if fighting takes me there, then heck yeah, I'll do it. And then as far as world titles go, absolutely. I don't want to do this just for fun to be number two, you know. I want to be the best, and I'm going to be.
Cool. And what is the weight class you see yourself campaigning at? What do you campaign at now? And do you think that you'll grow into a different weight class, or do you think you'll hang out where you are?
Yeah, anywhere between 122, 125, 129 even. I feel best at 122 or 125. And the fight on Saturday will be at 122. I was contracted to fight at 125, and then with the opponent switch, had to change things a little bit.
Cool. Well, there's definitely a lot of good fights at that weight class, and of course, you know, the scene in Japan has a lot of women that size. So
yeah.
Definitely, you know, I would love to, you know, I don't know if you have your people, but who works with management for you, but you would be a good name for, you know, the women's S Cup or something like that. Like you're close enough to that, you know, weight class where I definitely think you could plug right in. And they always look for, you know, Westerners to fill the card. It'll usually be filled with, you know, Rena, of course, and then Erica Kimomura is the up and coming star. But I would definitely love to see you get into that mix. Could you imagine yourself fighting in S Cup rules? You know, that's they have the judo throws as well and the stand up submissions. Do you think you would be able to adapt to something like that?
Yeah, of course.
Cool. Do you still do, you know, I don't mess with MMA as much on this show, even though it's my full time job outside of this show. But are you savvy with, or do you work on stand up submissions or anything like that to prepare you for something like that?
I haven't really done too many stand-up submissions. I've been doing jiu-jitsu on and off for a couple years. I have two amateur MMA fights, actually. I promised everybody that after this fight I would start rolling again, because I haven't really done too much jiu-jitsu in the last couple months, because I've been so focused on Muay Thai fights. I've just been getting a lot of opportunities for fights. So, but yeah, I mean, I do jiu-jitsu, but stand-up submissions, and yeah, that'd be cool. I recently have a whole new respect for judo, because I got to spar with Ronda Rousey recently.
Uh-huh.
And her coach asked if she could work in some of her judo throws when we tie up in the clinch, and, you know, me being the curious person that I am, I just wanted to feel what it was like to, you know, have the best, you know, someone of that caliber, you know, judo throw me. You know, I want to know what it felt like, and it was incredible. So, yeah, I think it's totally awesome.
How did you do on that? You don't have to give away all, because, of course, she's got a fight coming up, just like you have a fight coming up. But how did you feel, you know, going in there with, you know, arguably the best female fighter on the planet?
She hits hard. She's really strong. But no, I mean, her stand-up from what I've seen in the past to actually being in the ring with her has gotten a lot better. I mean, her boxing is getting there. She's progressing nicely. I mean, every time we sparred, she looked better and better. So
that's good, and I mean, that's good experience for you. Was Lucia Riker there? I know she was talking about bringing her out for the camp. Was she in the camp helping with the stand up there?
Yeah, she was. Actually, one of the days I went, she was there, and I didn't expect her to be there, and she was there. And I've always been a huge fan, so I saw her in the gym and I got all starstruck. I got to take a picture with her and everything, and we talked a little bit, and it was awesome. I was really stoked to see her there.
So that is really cool. Did you get to pick her brain at all? We're talking about arguably the two greatest female kick fighters of all time, or Jermaine and Lucia. Did you get to pick her brain at all and ask her about her career, or ask her about anything towards yourself?
She gave me a few pointers, and she told me what she thought about me, and almost brought me to tears, because I was so just like, oh my gosh, my hero just gave me a compliment, you know, and it was really cool. She just, the few pointers that she gave me, I will never forget, and I went and worked on them right away. And as far as her career, I didn't really get a chance to ask her too many questions, because I was getting ready to leave the gym. It was more kind of like, hi, how are you? You know, I got her card and stuff. I was like, how much do you charge an hour? I definitely want to get a session or two in with her after this fight, to sharpen up my game, obviously, and learn from one of the best in the world. But, yeah, I mean, I would, if I had the chance or the time, or she had the time, I would have loved to have picked her brain. But she was also training one of her girls. So it was just a quick thing, but it was totally just like the best day ever. I was super stoked.
That's awesome. Well, for those who've never seen the time bomb fight before, what would they see? Like, somebody, if you were like, you know, how, like, if someone were to ask me, all right, I'm going to, you know, watch an Anderson Silva fight, what would I expect? I would say, hey, this guy can, you know, throw strikes from any angle. He can beat you with his lead hand. He's got good head movement. And when he gets people on the ground, he usually finishes them. What would you say to someone who's never seen time bomb fight before? What would you describe as, this is what you're in for?
I would tell him not to blink. yeah, no, I just a lot of athleticism and I don't know, people say I'm really fast and strong. So my coach says, he's like, you fight like a dude, which I guess is a compliment.
Yeah, you can't beat that. That is the normal. That is like when a woman starts to excel beyond her, you know, the regular means, to the point where he feels like he's just dealing with a guy. That's usually the compliment they give. With that said, Jermaine Durandami fights like a girl, and she's pretty damn tough. So we definitely want more people to focus on the women's game. Tiffany, I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Just got a couple more questions. First of all, I want to give you the opportunity to sell yourself and to sell your, you know, your fight team or whatever. This question is basically open for you. What would you like to tell the, you know, the people about what's going to happen this weekend? Is there anything that you want to promote? Is there any teammate that you have in the gym that you want people to look out for? This part is for you. Go ahead and tell the, you know, tell the audience, you know, this is what's happening this Saturday. And then if you've got any teammate or anybody that you would like to promote at this time, go ahead and give them a shout out. This is your time.
Oh, thanks. This Saturday, I mean, you guys are going to see the fight end with my hand raised and that belt being put around my waist. I mean, if it's a one-round knockout, that would be great. But if it's a five-round war, that's fine too. But it's definitely not going to be boring. I know that's for sure. I'm just really looking forward to it. And, you know, as far as shout-outs, it's mainly just thank yous. Thank you so much to everybody who's helped me get this far, helped me prepare for this fight. Just everybody, all my sponsors, of course my family and my friends first and foremost. My sponsors, Guard U Grill, 858 Fight Shop, True Honor Clothing, Boss Rude and O2 Trainer. Of course, Team Noguera Gym, Black House, everybody there. Crudo, my coach Alex. My teammates, sparring partners, my nutritionist, Eric Chuliegi, and, yeah, just so many people to thank, and so many people, help out, and, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today without all the love and support from everybody. So thank you guys so much, and I'm going to make you guys proud on Saturday.
Awesome. Well, the last thing I want to finish with is something that's a little kind of funny. I've heard you use the term twisted steel and sex appeal. Where does that come from? Like, I just thought it was funny because, you know, clearly it's – I will not lie. I will say this to anybody in the sport or whatever. It helps if you're pretty in the fight game as a woman. That's just bottom line. And
sex sells.
Exactly.
We're a society, you know, where if it's aesthetically pleasing, you know, we're gonna be like, ooh, ah, you know, so.
Yeah, but where did that come from? Because, you know, like I said, you're, you know, anybody who sees you, you're a pretty girl, you're physically, guys will be drawn to you. What do you, you know, like, did you say, hey, like, kind of like Gina did, or kind of like a Ronda Rousey, who you mentioned before, they play on that. They have fun with it. They have the, you know, it's like, hey, I understand that, you know, people are drawn to this, and I understand that I have an advantage that other women don't have. Is it, you know, something that's funny to you? Is it something that's serious to you? What goes through your mind when you think about that?
You know, I think it is what it is. I mean, if I can use it to my advantage, then shoot, why not? I mean, some people, I mean, especially for women, if you're not going to respect me and watch me because I'm skilled and for that sole purpose only, you want to watch me because you think I'm hot? Okay, go ahead, watch me. And then if you're automatically drawn to me because I'm hot, I'm going to make you like me even more because I'm good.
I think that is an awesome way to end the show. For all those listening, thank you again for, you know, following the the podcast show. If you're in the San Diego area, support Tiffany. It's happening at a hotel, correct?
Yes, Paula Casino.
Got it. So for the people out there, man, we really want to thank Tiffany. We really want to support her. And I wasn't joking about the pretty girls thing. The main event's between two pretty girls, and Miriam and Julie. This is not to put down girls who are not physically attractive. That's not what I'm doing at all. I'm just saying, as Tiffany was pointing out, sometimes people are drawn to someone just because of that, and then they find something else out. There are women out there who just have a devastating fight style, and people are drawn to them because of that. But just like guys, there are some ugly guys out there who are some awesome fighters, and then there are some, you know, dudes who are GSP suave, and a lot more people watch them. That's just it works both ways. So thank you for, you know, supporting the fight sport, everybody. Once again, you can follow me on Twitter if you're not. Twitter.com/StephenTheWarMan, one word. Tiffany, where can they follow you on Twitter?
I'm at Tiff Time Bomb, TIFF Time Bomb.
All right,
cool. One word.
All one word. So thanks again, everybody. And the podcast show easily can be found on iTunes. Just enter Warman Kickfighting Show or LORDGAUL. Put that into the iTunes search engine and my show pops right up. Lord Gall was the name that I was under the screen. That's my screen name when I was at K1 USA when I first fell in love with kickfighting. So thanks, everybody, and I'll talk to you later.